This is a Jeff Galloway podcast.
Welcome to 3-2-1 Go the podcast. I'm John Pelkey.
And I'm Carissa Galloway, and we're bringing you stories from start to finish to keep the everyday athlete motivated to keep moving towards the next finish. Today, surprise, it's more of my chat with DW. I had an awesome chat with them when they guest hosted, and you know, we're both talkers, so it went on a little longer than we intended, and then it fell into the archives, producer, but we've brought it back out to air today, so you are going to get more of the enthusiasm, the passion, the love from DW. We're going to do a quick Hurricane Milton check-in. We hope that you guys are safe. Thank you for listening. We're getting close to Wine and Dine. We can't wait to see you guys there. If you love us, check in the notes on how you can support us. You can also rate us. We love that. Share the episodes on social, and let's do this. All right, before we dive into DW and I am coming to you the day after Hurricane Milton passed through Western and Central Florida. John was already planning to be gone. I actually haven't checked in with him, so I'm not sure how his house is. He had a pet sitter over there, so hopefully all is well with him. We are in Western Orange County, so we luckily, I think, were spared the worst. We live in a new neighborhood in a house that was built in 2022, so to our knowledge, currently, we haven't sustained any damage because, unfortunately, the way they clear land when they build new houses, there's really not much debris to fall. But what did not fall? It bent, but it did not break. As you guys who've been following along on social media know, say it out loud if you're with me there, Lil Tree, Weston's here. He chose to not be on the episode. But he's going to nod, and I'm going to tell you, did you think Little Tree would make it through the night? I feel like last night he gave it less than a 50-50 shot. I can't imagine being in a Cat 3, Cat 2 hurricane, because the winds that were probably sustained at maybe like 80, 70, I don't even know, were whipping, were strong, and Little Tree was bending. It's still up, but it definitely broke from the roots a little bit, so we need to see what we can do maybe to kind of give it a little boost. It is our tree, but it is the homeowners association's tree, if you will. So last time, for those of you who are longtime listeners, remember when Little Tree was real little, they tilted it back up and they put some sort of, what are those things called? Straps. That's it. They put some straps. There are other parts of our neighborhood, the new section. Our neighborhood has an older, maybe 10, 15-ish year old section, and then our pretty brand new section. The back of our neighborhood has almost all of Little Tree's littler versions did fall over. And so that's why Little Tree making it through Ian in 2022 was so remarkable, because it had just been planted like 3 months prior and all the other ones kind of teetered over. So Little Tree is the biggest of the little trees in the new part of the neighborhood because Little Tree survived Ian. We hope Little Tree will survive. The West Orange Trail, where we run, where I have a 26 miler to do in a little bit, not today, but this weekend, lots of trees down where we live, lots and lots of trees down. The ground was so saturated before the storm came in. So lots of damage to be cleaned up there. It's actually interesting. We drove the golf cart around the neighborhood today, and in the older section where there's the bigger oak trees, there is debris everywhere. I mean, the whole street was covered with debris. Shout out to the city of Winter Garden, though. They were out at, 8:30 or so already, cleaning up everything but our section, because there's literally no trees and the ones that were here fell over. Not much debris. We've got a little area of our landscaping that floods, but we never lost power. It started to blink when we were putting the kids to bed, which I think when the power goes out, it's always like a little bit scarier for the kids. So we were rushing to get them to bed. It blinked, totally went out one time when Weston and I were still up, but it hung on, which I think has been the greatest sort of blessing, just because it keeps everything a little more normal. You're not having to kind of worry about the food and everything. So we were super grateful that we kept power. We know that others did not fare so well. So please let us know if we can help, if we can support you in any way. And also, I think what will remain the most striking image for a lot of people for Hurricane Milton will be Tropicana Stadium, where the Tampa Bay Rays play, where, for those of you who don't know, I was their in-game announcer for, what, 2.5, 3 years, maybe? I shared the duties with a wonderful man named Nate. So seeing that place where I had spent so much time working, you know, knowing all the ins and outs, the upstairs, the downstairs, is hard. It's sad to see that, knowing how wonderful the people are that work there. And I can't even imagine the cleanup when you basically lose your entire roof in a Cat 3 storm like that. So we'll be thinking about them, thinking about you guys. Hope you're getting out there doing some great runs. Thank you for everybody who checked in with us. We are good. We are restless, but we are good. And now, let's chat with DW.
Okay, civilians, it's time for the goods. Let's get on to the interview.
DW, I am so glad that you're here. I love your energy. I love so much about you. And I love that you were brave enough and willing to do this when I was like, please come co-host because John is going to be gone. I guess I gave you room to say no, but not a lot of room. So how do you feel about jumping in and co-hosting the podcast?
Do you know, this was so much fun. You know, when you asked, my first response to you will always be yes. Like, I don't care what the question is. It's Carissa Galloway. She's done so much for me. The answer is yes. And I'm not going to lie. My biggest fear was I was going to say something or do something and just ruin the whole episode. But it really felt like three friends getting together and just having fun. And so I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, spoiler alert, we are taping this part of the episode. We tape out of order. So we're taping this after he has they have checked the box on the completion, and you did an amazing job. And I feel like you have to have some kind of background in performance because you, it's not just a performance, because I guess a podcast isn't a performance, but just in interviewing, in listening, are you a good listener? Are you a good performer? What is it?
Do you know, I think I'm naturally a drama queen. But no, my very first job ever, and we've talked about this before, was as a Disney cast member.
Yes.
Right? And yes, it was at a Disney store, but it was at a time when we were under the theme park umbrella, and it really was about storytelling. And so that's a piece of the magic that has always lived with me. And so the opportunity to lay the groundwork for someone else to tell their story. Really felt special. And so, again, I can't thank you enough.
Well, the listeners will get to enjoy some of that momentarily. Real quickly, we are not close to Run Disney season, but we can see it like on the horizon. So what will your Run Disney schedule be like when we, I mean, when can these seasons aren't yearly, seasons are yearly? I don't know. But when we start again in September at Disneyland, I know you'll be there, but what does your schedule look like?
So I promised my husband this year, one race on the East Coast, one race on the West Coast. That was it. I have now signed up for everything except Dopey. So Halloween, wine and dine, Disneyland, Princess, and Springtime Surprise, thanks to Kelsey's Hope. I have already secured my spot. So everyone else enjoy race registration day. Not the stress I want, but I'm also going to be trying some new races this year. I'm going to be running my first Ragnar, some local races, maybe even headed down to San Antonio for a race or two.
Wow.
It'll be a very busy year.
Well, if it's Rock and Roll San Antonio, that is a fun race and that is a fun town, as I have talked about it. And as we've heard John say, saddest thing that ever happened to him in life, he didn't get to go to San Antonio. So maybe you can talk him into a little San Antonio 5K.
We'll bring him down. We'll do a history lesson at the Alamo.
We were going to drop in a history lesson, but then you and I have gotten sidetracked. So you're going to have to come back because John is still leaving all of us without our Apollo 13 lesson.
I will study up and I will do 3 minutes on the Apollo 13.
But you already know one fact.
I do know one
fact. You already know this. You can already do this. You were born for this. Go.
So,
be John. Take
Apollo
over.
Apollo 13, we're going to go beyond the NASA space mission. And let's go to Apollo the 13, the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
So the most famous phrase from NASA Apollo was, "Houston, we have a problem." What most people don't know is that's not the actual quote. Those words were never said in space. The quote was, "Okay, Houston, we've had a problem." But the script writer for Apollo the 13 movie didn't feel like the past tense worked in a suspenseful moment, rewrote the quote to, "Houston, we have a problem." And now most people believe that's the actual comment from space.
Isn't that interesting that we disbelieve what we hear in movies? But I can see that, but I do think it could have worked both ways. What do you think?
It could have worked both ways, but I think it's really interesting in that because Tom Hanks said it, right? Mm-hmm. And we love Tom Hanks so much. He was Forrest Gump. He's been in all of our favorite movies.
The Polar Express.
The Polar Express. If he said it, it must be right and it must be true.
It is true. He's one of those like characters that has been with me my whole life. So like I feel like the day we lose Tom Hanks, like for me is going to be a tough day because there, you know, I see older actors pass and they haven't been, you know what I mean? Like I feel like that day that he passes and they get the montage on all the morning shows, I'm going to be very sad. Like him, Matt Damon's not going anywhere anytime soon, but like those are people that I'm very, very connected to from their performances and the magnitude of the films that Tom Hanks has done.
I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to work for FAO Schwartz so bad was the movie Big. They sell that piano. It's a mat. You roll it out. I learned chopsticks just so I could recreate that Tom Hanks moment.
Love it. Love him. And I love you for doing this. So before we wrap the chat, do you have any questions for me?
So two of my favorite things in life are tequila and Sundays. Mm-hmm. Day of the week, ice cream, doesn't matter. Okay. All inclusive. I heard you got to try the brand new tequila sundae at Epcot.
I did. And we're going to have to back up to start the story. So have you seen, I'm on Instagram, the things that talk about the people that you send the memes to, that's called like pebbling.
Yes.
So like, it's a good thing. It's not an annoying thing. We're not crazy. It's a good thing. It's people you think of. So one of my best friends, Amber, pebbled us, the three of us, my friend Angela, Amber, and me on our thread with the tequila sundae. And I said, wow, that looks great. And then Angela says, I want one. And so then I separately in a message to Angela, who lives in Louisiana and has an annual pass. This is on Thursday. No, Amber sends the pebble on Thursday night. Friday morning, I'm like, well, come get one, Angela. Friday afternoon, Angela books a flight. Sunday night, Angela arrives here so we can go try this tequila sundae. So it was that serious. So we save Epcot. We're going to do Animal Kingdom with my son in the morning. We're going to do Epcot in the afternoon. We go so far as to book a room on a AAA rate, less than $200, at the Walt Disney World Dolphin so we can walk back from fireworks, intending to not overindulge just because we like that vibe of walking back from the fireworks. So we go in the mid-afternoon yesterday. And it is a horrific, horrible Florida thunderstorm that they usually like blow in like 10 minutes. We sat under the thing in Mexico. I'm demonstrating you what it looked like. I'm demonstrating a roof to you right now for a solid 90 minutes with my son, Weston, Angela, with lightning that is like flash, boom, like scary. We're outside. All of this for a tequila sundae. So we did get the tequila sundae though, and it is everything that you wanted it to be.
So it was worth waiting in the rain for.
Well, we actually didn't. We had it in the midst of the rain because Weston got a table in the Plaza de San Angel, I think, which is where it is across from Mexico, as the rain happened. And as I'm walking up, I'm saying, get our son inside Mexico, get him inside and get him safe. But he didn't want to go on the Mexico boat ride. So he didn't want to go inside Mexico. Mm-hmm. So we're theoretically outside, which was a little bit scary to me. We got it. The caveat about ours was they had to check to see if they could do it because they weren't sure that the sorbet had refrozen. Like, you know, there's sometimes issues with like Slurpee machines and things like that. So ours was like a little soft, but even without the tequila, I think anyone would love it. It is amazing. And it's also very filling. So we didn't really want to drink a lot more because like
we were full. But I mean, you live in Texas, so you're familiar with all these flavors, the tajin and whatever, the tamarind paste on the straw, which I think is my favorite part. So for $10, y'all, this is a bargain and a Disney must do, even if your friend flies in from Louisiana to try it.
Wine and dine, after party, adding it to the list. Please be my friend that night, not my nutritionist, and don't watch everything I consume that evening.
I can be both separately, and it will be amazing.
Perfect.
I do have sort of another question for you, another thought, and it's along the same frame as owning yourself, because we had the podcast with Rach McBride for Pride Month. I love them, and they are brilliant, and I'm so excited that they decided to come on and share their story. You and I discussed privately. We had a little conversation after the episode with Rach. So should I break – I'm not going to break this news. Like, is there any other information that you want to share with us that you have in this new positive owning yourself relationship you have with us and the world?
Absolutely. So the listeners know that throughout the podcast today, you are going to be referring to me using they, them pronouns. And that is because I identify as a non-binary individual, as a non-binary athlete. Now, I can already hear people like hitting the pause button and making the comment that this is a sports podcast, that gender identity, orientation, it shouldn't matter. And I will be the very first person to stand up and join that chorus. It really shouldn't. But we live in a world where 41% of LGBTQ plus youth, that's 1.8 million people between the ages of 13 and 24, seriously considered suicide within the past 12 months. Representation not only matters, but it's life-saving and it's necessary. I can't thank Rach McBride enough for that episode. They, along with athletes like Nikki Hiltz, Trey Cunningham, Nico Young, Shakari Richardson, they are shattering stereotypes on a global stage. I couldn't sit in the stands and cheer them on this summer and, you know, not show up for this podcast as my most authentic self. So thank you for allowing me that space.
No, I mean, I'm almost brought to tears when you mentioned that statistic about the youth and contemplating suicide. And it's just, it shouldn't be like, that shouldn't be something that you had anxiety or stress over. Do you know what I mean? How long had this been on your mind? Like, I would prefer if people referred to me as they, them.
It has been there for a while, mm-hmm. right? So probably the past 4 or 5 years. I work in commercial real estate. It is not known for being diverse or embracive. I am very fortunate in that I work for a company that is the exact opposite. They almost demand that I show up as my most authentic self because it allows me to do my best work. And so I have slowly introduced they, them pronouns at work. And to my surprise, nobody blinked. Mm-hmm. One or two people outside of the company had questions to understand what that meant. Mm-hmm. The way that I explained it to them, and this is my journey, mm-hmm. is I never understood this idea that we're going to assign gender to colors or inanimate objects, right? Men are allowed to wear kilts, but they're not allowed to wear skirts. Priests can wear robes, but if a man wears a dress, he's a drag queen. Mm-hmm. Like this, it just doesn't make sense to me. And so that is really where me identifying as non-binary comes from. And it goes back to that healthier place of if something's comfortable and flattering and I like it and it makes me feel good, mm-hmm. and it doesn't hurt anyone else, then I'm going to wear it.
Yeah.
And I think you've seen that in my running costumes, but now I have the courage to go to the theater, to the opera, and do the exact same.
Yeah. Can I request that there is... Okay, I'm not requesting this, but like it would be cool if there was some running Run Disney Expo outfit that like was a they them like something or another. Like a loud, proud they them. I would like to request that.
There may be something in the works.
And if we could all support it, and if there was a version for like allies, like an ally light version, I would love that as well.
Absolutely done. I'm even talking to a group of friends for the Wine and Dine after party.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make it a grown-up prom.
I love that. I really want to go. Can I go this year? I would like to go.
Come, be my guest.
Well, we have to get the gal. I have to talk to, let me see, looking at my calendar. I do want to go. Okay.
But what was fun was we had women who identify as women approach me and go, do you think it would be okay if I could wear a tux? It would be fine.
It would be
fine. And so people just are starting to realize that these sort of outdated conventional rules don't have to be followed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt anyone if women wear pants instead of a skirt.
I mean, 200 years ago, apparently they thought it, you know what I mean? Like we've come that far. And I think that's interesting. Too, when you bring that up, like that was, we couldn't wear pants and we couldn't vote and we couldn't run more than 800 meters and all kinds of things. Like,
I mean, Katharine Hepburn was scandalous less than 100 years ago for showing up on film wearing pants.
But so beautiful and so sexy.
And she became a revolutionary. Yeah. She changed the world.
Yes. I have a question. So Nikki Hiltz, love them, and I applaud Kara Goucher and Lee Diffie and the NBC team because I know that they have worked really hard to identify Nikki correctly. And as I made a fumble in Rachel's podcast, it is hard because when we're announcing, we're talking, we're seeing our words, but we're not like we're not thinking about them. They're coming out of our mouth, but we're thinking about what we're going to say next in a way. So I applaud them for the work that they have done in identifying them. Nikki, such a badass. My God, their visualization of this win was just amazing because I'm sure you dove in, but their time was like redonkulous for them and for everybody in that field. So love Nikki. I want to talk about Sha'Carri because I did not know. Explain to me, is Sha'Carri non-binary? Like I have missed, I know a little bit, but I don't know the full thing. And I'm totally in Sha'Carri fan mode right now.
So we need to be very cautious about this.
Yes.
Because Sha'Carri is very careful in saying, I will not talk about my personal life in interviews intentionally. If you want to talk to me about running, let's talk about running. In the past though,
okay,
she has referred to people as, this is my girlfriend, this is my boyfriend.
What so impresses that both? Me, so she's had, is that pansexual? Is that...
Or bisexual.
Yeah. Okay.
Her choice, how she wants to identify, she has chosen not to publicly. I think that needs to be respected.
Oh, yes. I have seen her at a track meet. So that is why I was not surprised. We have, if you've watched Sprint, where Noah Lyles trains, is like Claire's gymnastics is here and this is like right here. Even today, I was like, Claire, is Noah down there? And then Sha'Carri and Dennis's group is like 10 minutes away. So we have gone and watched like their little fun meets. And so I was not surprised, but because she doesn't talk about it, I actually didn't know if it had been confirmed. So that was just a personal question for me. So,
but even beyond that, right? Like every time she steps up to the line, she is unapologetically and authentically herself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it was the Olympic trials or the track and field worlds, where she showed up to the starting line in a wig and decided, not today.
Mm-hmm.
And so before the gun went off, she took the wig off, threw it on the ground, and ran with her beautiful natural braids. Like, that's what she needed to do in that moment.
Yep.
Nobody was going to tell her how to look, how to feel, how to run. And then she can do 100 in 10.6.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Crazy.
Yes. You need to watch Sprint because you'll learn more about that when you watch Sprint on Netflix, because they'll go into why the wig and why the taking off of the wig. And it was very symbolic. Like, she had put a lot of thought into it, which you will appreciate. So, no, I love that. I love all of it. I just, and yes, this is a sports podcast, but I think because we have a unique space with a lot of Disney listeners, and that John and I are both such out loud, huge allies of everyone being able to be their authentic self, whether that is someone like me that loves men or someone like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever your self is, just, we just have this voice. And I think for us, it's very important to talk about rescuing pets and supporting, you know, the whole rainbow out there. So thank you for your openness, because I always say, and as you've said, listening to Rach, like, the more people say things, the more people hear things, and the more people might feel like they're not alone, or maybe they felt like they were the only one and there's just somebody out there that might be like them.
Absolutely. I think it's important. And I love the work that you and John and Riley and Tracy and Matt has done to literally make sure that everybody who shows up in that parking lot at 3 a.m. feels valued and appreciated and important. Give yourself a lot of credit. You've done really good work.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, that means a lot, because, again, if one person feels more comfortable or more open to be who they are publicly, then I think that's a big, big deal. And I can't wait to have my They Them shirt to celebrate that. All right. Before we dive into Chris, I want to know your pop culture POV. Is there anything you're loving, watching, binging? The stage metaphorically is yours.
So I honestly haven't been watching a lot right now. We saw Inside Out 2 because it's a Pixar movie and I'm legally obligated to as a Disney adult.
And hubby, how's hubby's, like, Disney Pixar love of watching movies?
He's a Star Wars, so he's full into Acolyte and everything right now. And I sit there and play Candy Crush while he watches and we're happy.
Okay.
There was a really good show on Netflix called Dead Boy Detectives, based off of the DC comic book series. So if you like creepy supernatural,
no,
that's your jam.
Too scary.
But I've really been into music lately. That's what I'm focused on. And it might be because I'm getting all my playlists ready for the upcoming races and training season. I am obsessed with Chapel Roan right now. Feminine Nonanon, which is just really fun to say.
It is fun to say. Feminononon?
Feminononon?
It reminds me, like, phenomenon. Ma-ma-na-na-na-na. Like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Phenomenononon.
Exactly. And she has actually, in her sort of stage costumes, referenced the Muppets and Miss Piggy repeatedly. So
I see a mashup happening in November.
I may or may not be running as her Princess Weekend.
Okay.
That may have gotten ordered this morning. But there's also just sort of this summer resurgence of, like, jams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kesha has brought out a new song for the first time since she got away from her former producer. Camila Cabello and Meghan Trainor have these amazing albums with all these sort of, like, guest singers. But who I'm really obsessed right now, Fox had a very short-lived singing competition called The Four.
Yeah,
on that show was a singer called Vincent. He didn't win. Great voice, should have won. This summer, he has been dropping song after song, and they are these upbeat, dancey, Another Lover, which is a duet with Adam Lambert.
I love Adam
Love
Lambert.
Me Tonight with Betty Who. If you are putting together your playlists, whatever service you use, look up Vincent. Okay. I guarantee you will love it.
Okay. Well, I have a long run tomorrow, a 14 miler. So I'm going to actually listen to last week's podcast because I wasn't on it and I don't know what happened. So I'm going to listen to that, but I've got plenty of time. So I will make myself a little playlist there. And if you guys have anything, share it on social, send us an email. We will share that as well.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Before we wrap up, we want to give a special shout out to our friend, Sarah Akers with Runs on Magic. Now, Sarah is a passionate Run Disney enthusiast. She loves nothing more than helping you plan those magical Run Disney weekends. But with her expertise, the possibilities are endless. Whether you're dreaming of a honeymoon escape, an all-inclusive girls trip, a boys trip to Las Vegas, a family cruise, international adventure, whatever it is, Sarah is here to make it happen. Best part? Her travel planning services are completely complimentary. Sarah creates personalized itineraries and specializes in Run Disney, Universal, and cruise vacations. And for our listeners, she's offering a special promo. Use the code 321GO when requesting your vacation quote, and you could receive up to a $200 Disney gift card or booking credit, depending on your destination. You can connect with Sarah on Instagram at RunsOnMagic for the latest offers and more, or reach out to her directly at runsonmagictravel@gmail.com. Thank you so much, Sarah, and thank you all for listening. We'll see you soon.